You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Sounds like some bad movie.
And we're back. We're back at least one more time. No, we're back. A whole bunch more times.
We are back.
We are back, baby, and better than ever.
Right, and it is Oscar season, and this is the beginning, baby.
This is it.
This is it. We're going to be reviewing all the films that are up for Best Picture, and we're starting off with Frankenstein.
Different movie.
Oh, that's
sorry.
Right. So that's Joey. I'm Scott.
We're Victor.
Reviewing Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein from 2025, which is up for a number of Oscars.
Yes. I should bring that list up. Matter of fact, it's easier this week because it's only one movie. It's not like when we did it last week where we were going through
them all. Right.
Mm-hmm. I think this one's up for 12 or 9. It's a lot. I know they have a lot.
Well, it's up for like production design and
it's up for 9. Kind of
stuff. Yeah.
It's up for 9. We'll go over these super quick.
Okay.
Obviously, Best Picture. Best cinematography, best makeup and hairstyling, best score or best original score, best sound, best supporting actor for Jacob Elordi, potentially the new James Bond, best adapted screenplay, best production design, and best costume design. Yeah, I think this walks away with a bunch of technicals. I think it's walking away with costume design, production design, you know, I think it might
maybe even, cinematography,
maybe cinematography, maybe makeup and hairstyling, best picture. No, well, I'll just start off and just say, as much as I enjoyed this film, this is not going to win best picture.
It's an honor to be nominated.
Yeah. Best sound. Yeah. I don't think that's happening either. I said last week, I think that's going to F1. Best supporting actor? Supporting actor. Who's that up? Jacob Elordi's competition is Benicio Del Toro, One Battle After Another. Jacob Elordi for Frankenstein. Delroy Lindo for Sinners. Sean Penn, One Battle After Another. And Stellan Skarsgård for Sentimental Value. Honestly, it might be between Jacob Elordi and Delroy Lindo from Sinners.
I agree. I've seen all of these films. I've got a couple of categories blocked out, and best supporting actor and actress are two of them. And I definitely think this is a front runner for best actor.
Yeah, I mean, supporting.
The
only one I haven't seen of those is Sentimental Value. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know how Stellan Skarsgård is in it. But I would not be one bit surprised if Delroy Lindo, who He's been in movies forever. Tons of really good stuff. Tons of really bad stuff. Delroy, you know, he might be coming home with a statue. You never know. But Jacob Elordi, I wouldn't be surprised if they gave it to him. He is an up and coming actor, doing a lot of big things. Like I said a minute ago and last week, he met Denis Villeneuve for potentially being the new James Bond. Don't know if that's true. That's a story I read. With the amount of things that are untrue, inaccurate, AI slop, whatever you want to call it, what's happening these days, I have no idea if that's even true. I don't know Denis Villeneuve. I don't work with Paramount Pictures. I don't know. Is it possible? Yeah, I could see him being James Bond. Why not?
Yeah, when I see the trailer, then I'll know.
Right. Well, or an official announcement. But yes. Right. So,
yeah.
No, go ahead. Frankenstein.
Yeah, so the first thing I want to start off with is this film does something that I normally am against, and it starts at the end because it uses the whole end Arctic sequence as a framing device for the story, which is kind of told in flashback.
Right.
And normally I hate when they start at the end and go back, but in this case,
I thought you were going to say narration.
Oh, no.
Because it's narrated by Frankenstein's monster, so.
Yeah, no, but that's fine. That's a different thing. No.
Well, it's not always fine. We've talked about how it's not always fine.
But I love the Arctic sequence as the framing device at the beginning and the end of the film. And because then the film is really focused on, it's obviously the creature, but it's about the family dynamics, the personal dynamics between all these people.
Right.
And I think I didn't want to see the film.
Well,
I originally thought it was too long. I mean, how many times have they done Frankenstein already? I still remember Robert De Niro doing it. I didn't think that we needed a new.
You're talking to me?
Standing on milk crates out in the fucking but I mean Guillermo del Toro obviously is a must watch and
yeah, you know, let's really put that into perspective. He did the one movie he did, it was his first Hollywood feature and the studio
Mimic.
If you really take that out of the equation, I don't think he's done anything I didn't like.
No, maybe not.
Maybe there wasn't. I didn't love what he did, but I sure as hell didn't dislike it. You know, nothing comes to mind.
Cabinet of Curiosities was okay.
You know what? It was anthology. Most of the stuff, you know, some of the stuff was pretty good. He didn't. Did he do one of them though? I thought he did one of them.
I forget which one.
But yeah, I mean. I don't remember how many there were, 7 or 8. I remember really enjoying a couple of them. I remember on a handful of them and just being, it's okay for the rest. You know.
I remember specifically had one of the worst Lovecraft adaptations I've ever seen.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it was like the Witch House, Dreams in the Witch House. Horrible. They just like mangled that to shit. But Frankenstein, I mean, the framing device kind of points to the Frankenstein creature almost being like Frankenstein's whale, like Moby Dick.
Moby Dick's.
You know what I mean?
Well, okay.
Not yeah, Moby Dick, that kind of
Captain
situation.
Ahab. But yes, I got
it. Yeah, because you're dealing with the same thing with the captain, where they want him to turn back. It's like, no, we have a promise. We have a goal. We're going to do it, no matter what happens. And I like how this very inconsequential side character that's really just there to facilitate the story being told has his own character arc.
Yeah, that's Christoph Waltz, right? Yeah.
No, Christoph Waltz was the guy.
Oh, he's
who,
the money guy.
Finances.
He's the guy. Yes, he's the one. Yes, but with an ulterior motive, we'll say.
Yeah.
I mean, he really wants him to succeed, but there's a reason why. Mm-hmm. And then, when his scene happened, I'm like, ooh, ow.
I also really liked how they contrasted Frankenstein's relationship with his father and how that affects his own roadblocks mentally. He vows to best his father, but he becomes him by just being the same emotionless person with no real connection. And I mean, that's why when he creates the creature, like he loses patience with the creature because he can't. He doesn't have any maternal instinct. He doesn't know how to care for or help it. He just expects it to perform.
Right. I mean, and who the hell plays his father? He was in Game of Thrones. He was also, my earliest memory of him was in The Golden Child. Numsy! Oh, Numsy! That actor.
Yeah, I forget his name.
I'll look it up real quick. But yes, I mean, and Oscar Isaac, he plays Victor Frankenstein, and he's just, he's come a long way from his early days in acting.
I love him in the role. I was surprised he wasn't nominated.
Oh, yeah. No, me too. I mean, there's only so much room. He would have been, so the studio would have pushed him for best actor. Or no, they probably would have pushed for best supporting, because he has probably the same amount of screen time, maybe a little less than Frankenstein's monster.
I don't know.
To be completely honest, because...
Good point, yeah.
You know, I mean, and screen time, it really, like, through the years I found out, it's the studio is the ones who, you know, they send for your consideration, and they're the ones that say, we want best supporting for Jacob Elordi, we want, you know, this for this and that. So the studio would have put that. So for best actor, there just isn't any room there for him to get in. Although, yeah, well, Michael B. Jordan, I would take him out and put him in, because as much as I liked Sinners, I don't think that's a best actor worthy performance. I mean, it's okay.
I can't argue too much with that. It's good, but I mean, yeah.
And in best supporting, there literally is no room. There's just nobody.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take a single person out for best supporting.
Thankfully, Mia Goth wasn't nominated for supporting actress.
You know,
I know
we're reviewing Frankenstein, but we watched Pearl the other night. We hadn't seen it yet.
I actually liked Pearl.
I thought Pearl was good.
I thought it was a step up. I thought it was. Yeah. I think that's the best of the three films in that trilogy.
I haven't seen Maxine yet.
Yeah. Hey, who knew? Ty West learned how to make a fucking film right.
I mean, he steals from other directors and inspiration elsewhere. But sure. You know what? Most people do. And if it turns out to be a competent film, good for him.
But like I always felt the whole hype about Mia Goth playing both roles in X was just like overhyped. As like, yeah, whatever. You're in layers of old age makeup.
Right.
Good job. I don't know why she had to have two roles in this film. Why it had to be a dual role? There's nothing significant about the two characters that they should be played by the same actress.
I don't know. It. Maybe just to entice Victor, you know, because she played his mother and then played the future wife of his brother.
And I mean, did Guillermo do it just because of X? Was he just like, let's do that again?
I don't know.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. It's the one part of the film that bugs me, just because she irritates me.
She irritates you. I mean, I
can. She does.
I could see that. I don't agree 100% that she's irritating, but I can see why someone would feel that way.
I didn't say she's irritating. I didn't say she's irritating. I said she irritates me. Being very specific.
Yes, now that you've pointed that out.
But I'm not saying she's bad. I'm not saying she's a bad actress either, but I don't dig on her. Something about her just tweaks me.
She was Shia LaBeouf's girlfriend for a long time.
And
apparently, she said that he abused her often.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, that was a toxic relationship.
That doesn't shock me at all.
Yeah, you know, apparently Shia LaBeouf is a real pain in the dick. I mean, as much as I hated Megalopolis, I've seen some behind the scenes footage of him just being fucking up Coppola's ass. Why are we going to do the scene this way? Maybe we should do it this way. I don't really like the way this is done. Maybe I could do it like this for you. And Coppola is just like, fine, just like he's given up. He's like, fine, just we'll do one of your takes.
I sold my winery for this shit.
I still can't believe he fucking did that. Like, what the hell are you thinking, dude?
It's not the first time he's bankrupted himself to make a film he wanted to make. It's not the first time he's done it.
What was the other?
I forget. Okay. I honestly forget, but I was reading about it the other day. I was like, oh, geez, it's like the second time he's done it.
Are his buddies like, you know, like Spielberg and De Palma, like bailing him out and stuff?
No, he had to go bankruptcies and stuff, and you know, but you know, rich people never actually lose their money. They just like divest it and stuff.
Yeah, they figure something out. He's probably getting money from the winery, even though he sold it in like some weird way.
Probably. But anyway, Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. Yes. Enough about wine.
Yeah. I mean the film does. The film has a lot of themes besides that whole, you know, father-child thing I talked about. Obviously, the whole, I think, the ethics of science is the morality behind it is a whole layer of it. But I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
Lordy really sells the creature, and I like how the film is framed, where part one is Frankenstein's story, and the second one is the monster story.
Yeah,
and they both tell their own stories, which is what they're doing in the ship. The structure is very solid. And the film never felt too long to me. At first I was questioning why there had to be like a love interest. Like they spend so much time with him courting his brother's wife, fiance.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, I realized, why do we need this extra complication to the character? But it really had to do with the empathy between him and Mia Goth's character, and about empathy and morality and, that played into it.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it was interesting because when Mara and I, we were watching it, it hadn't been nominated yet. It was out theatrically, then on Netflix, and nominations weren't out yet because we watched this more than a month ago. Uh-huh. As soon as we started it, and I would say maybe a half an hour in, we just looked at each other and we're like, this is going to get nominated for Best Picture. Like, it's just too well made not to be, you know. And you know, Guillermo.
I also like how
is, you know, he's a favorite at this point. You know, Hollywood. Mm-hmm. He makes a movie and Hollywood takes notice now.
Yep. Well, until that $1 million brain worm hits him, and then something's going to happen. But we're still getting some strong stuff from him. Still.
Yeah.
We're good.
I don't know. I don't know if that the darkness will take Guillermo that way. I just don't know.
Now, one of the major influences, I mean, Guillermo del Toro's. I'm not going to go too much into it, but he's talked about how he's always been obsessed with making this as like a long time passion project of his. But one thing he was highly influenced by Bernie Wrightson's art. Have you ever read Bernie Wrightson's Frankenstein?
No, I haven't.
I have a copy of it, actually, and I meant to bring it and show it on the channel, but I forgot. But beautiful, intricate artwork of Frankenstein's lab and the monster and all this. And you can see that influence in the film. It really has that flow to it. If you just Google Bernie Wrightson.
Yeah, that book, is that largely an illustration of Frankenstein?
It's like a graphic novel. It's an illustrated.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Bernie Wrightson does all the illustrations for it. I should have clarified that. Yeah. But you can really see the influence in the film, just in the visuals. I love that Guillermo doesn't pull back on the violence and the gore.
Oh yeah.
Like during the first fight sequence with Frankenstein's monster, when he hits that one guy in the jaw, just I had to rewind it three times because he just like goes back and keeps stumbling and like his jaw's gone and Jesus, man. And then the whole scene when Frankenstein is assembling him, and like just very, very very like Reanimator feel to it. Just yeah. He really didn't dial back.
How about when he's giving his presentation and he's got half the corpse, like, you know, like on the table, and then he hits a button to send, you know, electricity through it to reanimate it. I thought mm-hmm. that scene was fantastic too.
I thought they handled the electricity great, and they didn't have to go to the electric eels from the that was the De Niro one, right?
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah.
Kenneth Branagh, who is usually pretty competent writer director, don't know what he was thinking with that.
He was thinking he was too sexy for that lab. Oh, that's what he was thinking.
He definitely like put your shirt on.
At least
on.
He kept his shirt on in this film. He, you know,
Kenneth, put your shirt on. Come on.
This is not hygienic. You're in a laboratory here.
Right? Gonna singe those chest hairs.
That still has to be the worst Frankenstein adaptation I could think of.
Is that the really? Worst one?
That's the worst one I can think of. You know.
I don't know.
I saw that shit in a theater.
I mean, are we counting like what's his face? Fuck, why can't I think of his name? The
Roger Corman? Beyond Frankenstein? I count that.
You count that? Okay. Then
yeah.
I wasn't actually thinking of Corman. Thank you for reminding me. No, what's his face? The other guy. The guy that got shot, the artist from the 60s.
Andy Warhol.
Didn't he do a Frankenstein?
Andy Warhol's Frankenstein. Damn it, he did. You know what? And still, I have not seen that yet. I keep shying away from watching that. That and the Blood of Dracula and Warhol's Blood of Dracula. Blood okay. for Dracula, I think.
I mean, those two. I haven't seen either of those, but I heard the Frankenstein one is not good.
I got to add those to the wheel because they've been on my list for decades.
They should be on the wheel. Never to got be around honest. To it.
Yeah, they are. They should.
You know.
Yeah, I'll add those. But I have little to say, but this film is grotesquely beautiful.
Yes, and that's a compliment. Yep.
And emotionally daunting. I mean, you really do feel. I think I cried at the end of this.
Oh,
I think it's on my list.
I think you told me you did.
Yeah, because it was really, really. I think you feel the sympathy for even the Frankenstein character by the end.
Right.
And like you believe in his absolution or if there is such a thing. I can't praise it enough. I wish it was going to win Best Picture. Like you said, it's not going to.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah, but
I mean, you know what? And people remember if Guillermo del Toro did not win for the other film that he did, The Shape of Water. If he didn't win mm-hmm. for that, this might have a little bit more push for that. But since we're talking about that, Guillermo del Toro is not nominated for Best Director.
Right.
So I don't know if Frankenstein makes one of the five.
Would you put Frankenstein above or below Shape of Water?
Ooh, that's good. Good question.
It's tough.
They're two. See, the thing is, they are two different movies, like very, very different movies. But
yeah, but Pan's Labyrinth is automatically below them because fuck that ending.
But if I were to just Guillermo films, oh shit! All right, might depend on my mood. My mood right now is that I would put Frankenstein above Shape of Water, right now. But
I can see it
next week. You know, like I might see or rewatch Shape of Water and be like, what was I thinking? Because that film is so good too.
Yeah,
you know,
and they're both that kind of adult fairy tale kind of feel to them
for sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, this is definitely one of the best Frankenstein adaptations.
It's probably, and the best I think one. I would say it's probably the best one,
and it's going to remain so for a while.
I think so. I don't think anyone's going to try and do Frankenstein for a while. Although
you say that.
Well, no, actually, you know what? What am I talking about? Maggie Gyllenhaal has The Bride. It's coming out like in 3 months.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I've got some on my watch
list. So it's not strictly, you know, like Frankenstein's monster. It's Frankenstein's monster and Bride of Frankenstein.
And that looks like it's taking a real kind of...
It's modern day, you know,
but
so...
But kind of modern artish, too. It's like it'd be very...
Yes. It did pique my interest. I want to see it. It looks... And it's got Jesse Buckley in it, who's playing the bride, who is, honestly, I think there's just so much talk that she's going to win Best Actress for Hamnet. So, that... If she does, The Bride, I mean, Maggie Gyllenhaal is rooting for her so hard right now, because if she wins Best Actress for Hamnet, I think more people are going to go see The Bride because of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I really do. So
anyway. Definitely one of the reasons they do the whole Oscar thing.
But the thing is, both of those movies, they were filmed around the same time. They just released it after Frankenstein, because Guillermo's was going to, they were going to try and push for Oscar season. So that's why theirs is coming out a little later. But I would say, as far as Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Guillermo del Toro's version of that is going to be the one that they have for a while. I think anyone is going to try and make Frankenstein for a while.
I think it's very fitting that really the reason he ever got to make this was because that the Universal Dark Universe they were trying to do fell through.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God.
Well, I mean, listen, I wanted it to succeed. I wanted to see all the Universal monsters again.
I'm not a Universal Monsters fan myself, but I didn't hate The Mummy as like a lot of people did. I thought it was Tom Cruise. Yeah, I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay.
The three eyeballs wasn't a bit much.
Didn't say it was good.
I
kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
I still haven't seen it. I've seen some of the ending. That's all I've ever seen.
It has a cameo with, what's his face? Gladiator.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, he was going to be Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So that's like the after credit scene and whatnot, or
no, it was earlier, you know, in the middle of the film. Yeah, it's middle of the film. He meets the character, and they were setting it up for, you know, spinoffs and everything. And
oh, great!
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that didn't happen. We'll go. I'll go there.
Yeah. Now, so what are we thinking? Now, we already discussed what we think it's going to win. What are you thinking as far as rating it?
Well, it's currently 7.5 on IMDb. I mean, clearly we're going 7 or 8 on this. There's, you know, I don't know. I mean, would you want to go higher than an 8, like a 9? Cause I'm okay with an 8.
I think I'd want to go closer to 10. Like, I think a 9 would be,
I'm okay with a 9.
Cause the film is, I mean, on a scale of 5 stars, I gave it 5 stars. I mean, there's just no arguing. It's perfect. Right now, it's setting at 7.5 on IMDb, which is a little low.
I think it's low. And you know why I think it's low? I think it's low because of people's love for the original Universal Monsters, and they didn't get what they thought they were going to get. You know? That's why I think some people went was like, you know, this is good. Yeah. I liked it. But, you know, I was kind of thinking it was going to be something else. That's why I think the scores are low on that. You know, if it was a completely original story and it was his own thing, it wasn't, you know, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or even, you know, to go back to the original Frankenstein from the 30s, probably would have got a little higher. But... I'm okay with a 9. Let's go 9. Your screen's frozen. You haven't moved for many, many seconds. Uh-oh. There we go. Now it's just me. Oh, this boy needs to hardwire his network. Get off Wi-Fi. Or he needs to have a moratorium on the internet while we are doing a podcast. Are you back, sir?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I was just saying to the audience, our listeners, that you need to either A, hardwire your network, or...
excuse me. We've only had ice storms down here for a week.
I saw some videos of people ice skating on your streets in Texas because you guys don't have salters, you don't have briners, you don't have plows.
No, we just shut down and wait for everything to melt.
To melt. I also was telling our listeners maybe put a moratorium.
I've been sitting here since Friday. You can't go anywhere.
Yeah, maybe put a moratorium on the internet only when we do the podcast.
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying. Listen, I feel for you, man. So you're frozen again. All right, we're gonna end this. We're giving this a 9.
I gave it a 9.
Let's give it a 9, and we'll end the show here, and we'll move on to the next movie. So let's go ahead and do that. All right, this is episode 462 of Movie Sucktastic. As always, thank you for joining us yet again. You can go to our website at moviesucktastic.com, and you can listen to all of our episodes there. You can download every single episode there. Or you can click on the YouTube link and it'll take you right to the YouTube page and you can watch this episode there as well. You can go to iTunes and you can listen to the show there. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you can see everything that we've been posting. It goes there. And you can go to letterboxd.com/moviesucktastic and you see what Scott's doing on that front. You can also leave us email at themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. If you want to leave us voicemail, actually, you can't leave us voicemail. Apparently, because Skype is no longer, our phone number is no longer. So I have to figure something out to get that phone number back so that people can call us. Fun. Isn't that fun? It's like, I'm sure there's an email from Skype somewhere saying, hey, you're going to lose this phone number. But I don't have it. I don't know where that email is. I don't think I ever got one. All I got was Skype is ending on this date. And it's like, so you didn't port over the phone number to Teams. Got it. I know, I'm ranting. Sorry. I'm going to keep saying the phone number because I've been saying it for 15 years. Anyhow. If you want to download our podcast app, it's... you can go to moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk or just go and do a search for your favorite podcast player and just do a search for Movie Sucktastic. Every single episode is there. We are on services like Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Pandora. I mean, we're literally just do a search for us and you can get our episodes just about anywhere. 100% free. We don't charge. You can go have fun and listen to them. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Frankenstein shoots his brother's fiance and then blames it on the monster. I love that.
Who are they going to believe? Who are they going to believe? I mean, seriously, if I was in the same situation, who are they going to believe? Me or a respected surgeon and scientific mind or this fucking 7-foot-tall monster? Yes. You're going to believe me. Fuck you, dude. Anyway. All right. We're going to review Sinners next. Stay tuned for that. That'll be our next episode. And we'll see you there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby.